this morning I'm going to be doing an exhortation that's a comparison of Josiah, who we read about this morning, and Joash. And I can't see the clock for time, but I did a run through and it's a short but sweet time, so we're good. but if you turn to 2 Kings chapter 12, basically this exhortation is, it's going to be what we're going to learn from comparing these two that I want to bring forward to everybody is what we're going to see with them is these two men, they get off to a good start in their lives, serving God and doing the right thing as we can do. But the big difference is we, even in our Sunday school class, we're kind of learning about this, is that sometimes, like, only God knows our heart, and sometimes, you know, we can try to go on automatic pilot and do the right thing and look like we're doing the right thing, and it's easy, it's kind of easier to do if we have, like, a spouse or friends or brothers and sisters that are around us. We can, they can strengthen us, which is the point of coming to meeting, to be strengthened, because, you know, we all need it. I know I do, but what happens, the question you got to ask yourself, like, when you're listening to this exhortation is, what happens when your support group isn't with you, like your spouse or your friends or brothers and sisters? What are you going to do when it's just you and you have to go through those trials where you have to make a choice between people and God? Because no matter, you know, what age we are, we're all, and we get these, we get these challenges a lot in our lives, and if you're going through the motions and you're showing up at meeting, but you're just kind of leaning too much on your brothers and sisters to make you do the right thing and kind of look over at them, you know, at some point you're going to be on your own and you're going to be challenged with pressures from people, and that's really when you're going to see what you're made of. So we'll start with Joash, and he was the great-grandson of Jezebel, and his father Ahaziah had died, so his grandmother Athaliah tried to have him killed, and that was in the previous chapter, 2 Kings 11. But we'll start with 2 Kings 12, and he's 7 years old when he begins to reign, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. So in these verses, we see he has a good start as the king, but a lot of this has to do with the fact that, I mean, he was so young, he was 7 years old, but Jehoiada, the priest, is the main reason that he's doing the right thing, because he's following Jehoiada's lead. And verse 3 gives us the first clue that he's going to fail. And so if we go to 2 Kings 12, verse 7, then King Joash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, "Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now, therefore, receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house." So King Joash is off to a good start, and he actually made that decision on his own without Jehoiada. So he's off to a good start. He actually said, let's repair the house of God. And so that's his clue. So he's doing pretty good here. And we'll read in verses 8 to 11. The priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so when they saw there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put in bags and and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and the builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. I should probably move this thing up. So the money was counted publicly so that the people could see that the priests were using their money for the right things, and they could put their confidence in the priests that it was being used properly. So far, all these moves that Joash is making, they're good. And so at this point, Joash is a type of Christ, because when he was saved out of death, when he was hidden from his grandmother, and he was hidden, when he was hidden, when he was a child, the people were drawn away from God, and Christ is hidden from us now, and the people have drawn away from God in his absence as well. And when Joash emerged to be king, he repaired God's house so that he restored the house so that the people could worship. And that's going to be like when Christ returns and restores the kingdom. So far he's doing good. But if we go to, we'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And if we look at verse 15, Jehoiada the priest dies. So as soon as this happens, Jehoiada was there, and Joash is making all the right moves and living a godly life. And then Jehoiada dies, and now it's on Joash to run the kingdom on his own as king. So if we look at verses 17 and 18... Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. So what happens in these verses is the princes see that Joash was a weak and vain king, and they can see that, and so they go right in and they flatter him. And he's so pleased with their flattery that they give him he grants them the right to worship according to their own conscience, and he gives the people the nod to do what they think is personally right. So if we look further in verses 20 to 22, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord? He hath also forsaken you. He hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. So what happens here, this is interesting, and this is going to parallel, but Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, he would have been somebody who grew up with King Joash. And for all we know, they could have been like brothers, but they could have been good friends too. And so he comes into the picture, and Joash has these new friends who are the princes, who are telling him what to do. I mean, are telling him that he can do whatever he wants to do because he's king. And Zechariah comes in, and this is somebody he would have grown up with, and tells him that he's got to turn to God, and he allows them to kill Zechariah. So at this point, we go to verse 23 and 24. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. And the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. So what happens in these verses is God delivers a very large army of Joash to be destroyed by a very small army of the Syrian army. And all the princes that flattered him in the land, they're basically all killed in this battle. And Joash tries to buy off the Syrians with all the wealth that he had collected in the temple that they had been giving. And so now basically, sorry, I'm nervous and trying to shake this off. but at this point, he is now depleted and he's in debt and he's bedridden. And so in verse 25, his servants go in and have him murdered, and he's not buried with the kings, and there's no talk of anyone mourning his death. So he basically, what was interesting about Joash was he lived this life to make the people happy with him, and at the end of it, nobody mourned him or remembered him at the end. So that's just something for us to think about if we're trying to live a life where we're making other people happy instead of God. That was his whole purpose, and it didn't pay off for him. And in the end, nobody even remembered him or cared. And actually, he was murdered by his servants, which are the people that were supposed to be protecting him. So that's Joash. So we'll turn over and see Josiah. If we go to what today's reading was 2 Chronicles 34. And this is Josiah. And so Josiah, the thing about Josiah that was comparable to Christ is that Josiah's birth was actually made known 340 years before he was born. And that was in, you don't have to turn it up, but it's in 1 Kings 13, verse 2. And also, you don't have to look this up, but in 2 Kings 22, verse 1, Josiah's father is killed, and his father had been a wicked king as well, so he didn't have that mentor, but he had a good mother who's mentioned, and her name is Jedidah, and it's a feminine form of David, so it means beloved. So we know he had a good mother, so for the parents out there, if you're good role models to your kid, it can pay off. And we'll read the first three verses again. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand or to the left. And in the 8 year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So he's 8 years old when he begins to reign. And he's raised by his mother and Hilkiah the high priest. And this is similar to Joash with Jehoiada the priest. And so he takes charge of his kingship duties at the age of 16, and at the age of 20 he begins to purge idolatry from the land. So the difference between these two kings is Joash, he cared about what the people thought about him, and Josiah cared more about what God thought about him. So in Josiah's reign, the kingdom continued to do idolatry, but the difference was they had to do it in secret because they knew that with Josiah, flattery wasn't going to work because he loved God in his heart. The people, they were actually like Joash because they followed what Josiah commanded them to do because he was king, but in their hearts, they still didn't love God, so they followed the law only outwardly. So, now, we don't have to look this up, but something happens that is comparable to Joash. Jeremiah enters the scene in Josiah's reign to warn the people of God's wrath. And you don't have to look it up, but it's in Jeremiah 2, verse 36, and Jeremiah 3, verses 6 and 10. And Jeremiah is the son of Hilkiah the high priest. And Hilkiah the high priest was the one who raised Josiah. And so that parallels Joash, Jehoiada, and Zechariah. And so Josiah listens to Jeremiah when he comes and warns him of God's wrath. But what Josiah does when Jeremiah tells him that, and Josiah would have grown up with Jeremiah as well. They would have probably been friends or like brothers too. And but Jeremiah is safe with Josiah, and Josiah actually goes through with it, and he keeps the Passover and purges idolatry and insists the nation make a covenant with God. But unfortunately, in their hearts, the people still didn't love God. So if we go to 2 Chronicles 34, verse 27. And reading 27 and 28. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. So in these verses, God tells Josiah, because he's faithful, he's not going to see the evil in his lifetime that God will bring him. So in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. And Josiah tries to stop Egypt from joining with the Syrians to save his people, and he's killed in battle. But he doesn't try to buy off the opposition like Joash did. And unfortunately, with him in this battle, it was God's will that that Necho was going to win. So, but he did give his life for his people, as Christ has given his life for us. And in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 25, Josiah is greatly mourned by his people, unlike Joash, who was hated and forgotten. So just the point here is that Josiah, he lived a life that where he cared about God, and at the end, because he really did care about the people, they actually mourned his death and missed him, as opposed to Joash, who lived a life to make people happy and like him, and then at the end he passed away and nobody cared. So It's just something for us to think about. So that is the end. I made it through, but I didn't think I'd be this nervous when I did it. But the basic point is that when we're making decisions in our life, just remember that God's with you, and that's your source of strength, and you don't have to worry about what other people are thinking. And we're gonna, every one of us, be tested on this. So, just as we're remembering Christ, who died for us here, just keep your heart with God, and you're gonna be okay. Thanks.